Any questions so far? Thoughts?
This is Kim.
Yes.
Go ahead, Kim.
First of all, I forgot that Stephanie is on this call. So I'm going to sort of introduce myself because these are all like voices from nowhere to her. And I'm Kim Kaufman. I am from KPFK. I am the treasurer. I've been the treasurer before, so I've been around a while. Julia, is there anything we can do to help you get this done? Because this should not be happening, and what can we do to fix it? This is nuts.
Get which part done? The settling the layout type thing where we're not having to do that?
I'm personally fine with it. I mean, you know, I can pull up, you know, the whole year, or I can unspread these. I'm fine with this to make it easier for you and Tamara, because this is crazy.
Well, if
hand copying
all these, right?
I
pray for her every month. If Tamara weren't here, I would not be the jovial person that you interact with on a regular basis. she helps me keep it together, and I just don't feel it's a good use of our time to be doing
right.
that. If we're
right.
going to have to drill in and do that, well, one, we don't have time to do that. Two, if we did, we need to be over here working on something else, finishing the audit, prepping for the other reports, AFRs, things like that. So if we get consensus that we're okay with the report this way, then that's going to help tremendously. The next thing is that we really do have to get this figured out with the IT situation. There's a big disconnect there. I've really tried to help John Armella as much as I can. If anything, I'm more of a sounding board for him, I guess, because I have been over IT before, again, over IT, not the IT person. So I know just enough to be dangerous, but, it's a challenging situation, and we need to kind of get something going there where there's an IT, some type of IT structure that can help us avoid this in the future. But
Is it a question of throwing money at it, which we don't have, or what?
I don't know enough about the skill set of the people that we have in IT to be able to say that. So it's not like, oh, we need a piece of equipment and we can't afford it. Right now, we can't figure out how to fix the problem. And so, but he is really, he's been sticking with it. So, I think that's probably a whole separate conversation. And I think that we were going to have some conversations with Stephanie about that, because I don't know the answer to your question. He is doing what he can to try to help get that done. And I'm trying to pull myself out of it a little bit so I can focus on financial stuff.
Yeah.
But it needs to get done, and it will eventually hold us up.
But he and I are both
learning a lot together.
If there's anything we can do to help, I'm totally, want to help. So thank you.
Okay. Well, really, it's just buy-in on the layout.
Huh?
And anything,
I hear you, Chris.
Our pulp stack.
Anyone else for the stack? Go ahead, Chris.
Thanks, Jim. I just want to go down as being in favor of this format. I really actually like it. I think it's much easier to read, particularly for a novice. And I really like the summary page a lot. It boils down the numbers in a way that I think pretty much anyone can understand. And if they want to understand where those numbers come from, all the information is still there. So I think it's a win-win. This is actually reminiscent of an idea that Lyndon brought up a while back of a Pacifica report card. And I think it goes a long way to help provide information that people can actually utilize. in the network. Instead of the confusing spreadsheets that we had before that didn't have any formulas in the cells, so you had no idea how the information was being routed through the spreadsheets. So I'm actually quite pleased with this, and I would strongly advocate that it be adopted if it's something that NEDA feels that they can live with. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Go ahead, Arpal. Oh, yeah. Did you want to respond, Julie? Did thank you is enough?
Yes.
Okay, Arpal.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at it. And one, there's no verbal narrative with this one, right?
I mean,
we have in the past with the financials also gotten a narrative about the stuff. Is it also the idea that that's not going to happen, or what?
Well, the thing about that narrative was that it was mostly percentages, which, again, I think we can factor the percentages into a column on the summary tab instead of having it on every row in each of the statements, that I can incorporate the percentages by the year-over-year change on here. I think it was Chris, maybe. I was speaking to someone where we thought that having the percentages on here and some commentary to the right or within the statement by the information might be helpful, but that original layout was really not that great, and it really is open to mistakes because you're going through and typing out all these percentages. It wasn't a very useful document, I don't think. There wasn't a lot of narrative to it. It was mostly a list of percentages. Am I wrong?
Well, no, that's not just percentages. It did have a whole lot of percentages in it, but it also gave us a lot of succinct information that we could present to other people fairly easily. So I don't know. I guess we can see how this works. The other thing is that, so I see here, going back to it, that, yeah, I can unhide the stuff and see what we have. And that's pretty close to what we had before. That's a good thing. I am a big believer in getting the biology out of the data, which means I like it when I can take just convert a document into another format of document and just, you know, click a button and that works. So if what is the big issue here with having to do this by hand? Because that's terrible. It shouldn't be doing it by hand. Is it that there are different? You have the MAS 500 at NETA now. Great Plains is used by some of the radio stations, and I'm wondering, you know, it sounds like we've got translations from various different types of software, and I'm wondering if there's any way you can make it so that you can have everything in pretty much the same format. I mean, I'm guessing here that MAS 500 does something that's, you know, natively incompatible with other formats, but I'm sure you can, you know, tell it to spit stuff out into a spreadsheet or something. I think that's what we got here mostly. And what is the really big problem with getting the information in? I am concerned that you are having to do stuff by hand. That is bad.
Okay.
But what is the big issue here? Is it that we have the MAS 500, and we have Great Plains, we have QuickBooks at places, and maybe something else somewhere else, I don't know. What is the big issue with stopping us from having it more automated?
First, let me clarify one thing. We do use MAS for WBAI, WPFW, the affiliates, and the national office, and KPFK. WBAI and the affiliates maintain their own side books with QuickBooks, but that's not recognized by the auditor. So everything that they do, it flows through us, and we then export that from Mass, and I import it into Great Plains, and that allows me to run the financial statements out of Great Plains. We make sure we have the same account numbers. Everything just imports right over. The issue is, one, a big part of it is the template that we're using to create the financial statement is one that has evidently been around for a while, and it's not the best. And as far as some of the form, it's not formatted correctly. And when I say formatted, the columns that are on there are not necessarily the columns that I'm under the impression the committee wanted to see. Those columns that you have seen for the past few years. So twofold. One, if we can get to a point where we can figure out how to change the template, that will help. But, and also having access to the server so we can get, when we run the financial statements, you know, of course they dump into a spreadsheet. We cannot get them out of the national server and over into a spreadsheet that we can work on and distribute because we don't have access to the server. So I actually have to copy the report, or Tamara copies the reports out and puts them on a spreadsheet over in our land where we can save it to our drives and get it out to everyone. But we have to run a report for each unit, and then go in and insert columns to make it look the way it looks. And I was just shocked at how much time it takes to actually do that. And then by inserting these columns, we then have to add formulas because, again, formulas don't come over. So there are a couple of technology-type things that will improve this. Right now, if we just use this format and I add percentages to the summary tab and work on a better narrative option, which I'll go back and look at the narrative. Our biggest problem would then be just the, really getting the affiliate set up in Great Plains as their own unit so that they can run we can run their report just like we run everyone else's. Did that address your question?
I think you've largely addressed it. Yeah. I agree. If we can just get this to more automatically go, that would be a great help. I suppose if we have to adjust here on the NFC a little bit to what we see, we can probably do that. But, I think getting access to the server is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. That would be huge just to be able to export things with formulas already embedded them. Now, the summary tab, and again, we don't know how to use the template in Pacifica. Maybe that it might be that we could create a template that would make the summary tab. I do that by hand now, but I felt like that was better to spend time doing the summary template today than messing with all the columns and moving stuff around in all of the other tabs. So that's what I chose to do.
Go ahead, Beth. Were you done, Julie? I think you were.
Yes.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, briefly, a couple things. First, on this new format, I like it. For three reasons right off the top of my head, as well as all the others that have already been mentioned. One, I really like it that all the data is still there. You can still do a deep dive on your own time if you want to do that. I like it that it's in this format for presentation for the meeting because it lets us cut to the chase. You get a really good overview in one glimpse. But I guess my first reason is if this makes your life simpler, if this simplifies your work in any way, I say go for it. But it's to our benefit to make this an easier task for you. So that's that's what I have to say about the template. And then the present, I'm not sure whether this is the time to go into these questions. It's not so much a question, or it is in part a question for Julia, but it's also a question for those of us on the committee and elsewhere in Pacifica. I'm sure there's a history here that I'm new enough, I'm still piecing the whole scenario together, how we got to where we are now. But it's not clear to me why PAN is not already a Pacifica unit. And I'm wondering why that is, and whether that really serves our purposes, and what would be the advantages and disadvantages, what would be entailed in making that change if there were advantages to it. And it may be more than we can, I'm hesitant to bite this off tonight for fear that we won't have time to chew it, but if not tonight, then maybe as a future agenda item. It's just a little bit mysterious to me. Thank you.
Okay.
Chris to the stack.
Thank you for your comments. And I can give you a short answer to that. It is my understanding that the affiliate is a unit. So there's a difference between being a formal unit and being a unit in Great Plains. So, again, they are a unit. That's my understanding. And the issue with getting them up and running as their own unit in Great Plains, I believe, is essentially one time. You know, we did three audits. We will have done three audits in less than 12 months. And the focus was getting those audits done. The second thing has been lack of access to the server. I think the fact that time was not really just open for looking for projects to do has probably led to not raising the red flag and saying, you know, we don't have access to get this unit added right now, might be part of that. That is my understanding, is just lack of time and lack of access. But John knows that that is on the list for this fiscal year, hopefully. It's on the list. Getting to it is our goal. But again, it depends on what the rest of the priorities are for the rest of the year. But he has that on the list of helping me find somebody. I think it was with Tech Impact that can help us at least get on the road to getting them set up. It will take some time, though, even once we have access to it, to be able to do it. Does that help?
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Chris, I heard you. I think you may have had part of an answer there from Julia, but go ahead.
I think Julia answered it pretty well. The archives are, in fact, a separate unit. That was actually mandated through the PNB. Robin Collier piloted or shepherded that initiative through. And so now the numbers are there.
Chris, could I just interrupt you for this? Chris, could I interrupt for one second? I think you said the archives, and I think you're really talking about the affiliates, right?
Affiliates. I'm sorry. I'm about a cup low on coffee right now. So the affiliates are a separate unit, and the accounting, I think the national office actually has their finger on all of the accounting right now. It is just a matter of separating it all out and creating essentially a separate spreadsheet for them and getting all that data entered into Great Plains. In other words, it's a time and energy thing at this point, but I believe that they have a handle on all the numbers. I'd like Julia to confirm it just so I'm not speaking out of turn, but I believe that's the case.
Well, I can't answer that. We do track one, whether right or wrong, we only have one line item on the national office tab. If you go to line 12, I think everyone's familiar with the income from affiliates. Working with Ruth and Ursula on the budget, it was interesting to see how that breaks out. And that's, I told her that's probably something that we might break out further for them once we have them set up in Great Plains. The expenses, you know, you can't see this, you see it here because we roll up so much. But when I run reports, I can see, you know, we already tagged all of the affiliate stuff with another code. They're all 200 accounts. So I know all the expenses that are 200, you know, are affiliates. So, yes, we're doing that. The only issue right now that I would say is the central services. If you look at the consolidated tab, you will not see the central services on this report for the affiliates, because since they are buried in the national office right now, we don't invoice, the national office cannot invoice itself for central services. So that is something that would appear, you know, that has been previously been inserted into the bottom for that. But again, overall, on the consolidated, that's all going to net out anyway to zero. Yes, they have their own account numbers, and we know very clearly what they are. So it's not like we actually have to pull data out of the, they're not commingled revenues and expenses right now.
Good. Julia, do you want to go on, or do you, so I'll ask if there's any more questions in this area, and then if Julia, want, if you want to go on, you go ahead.
This is Lyndon. I'd like to weigh in.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
Thank you. Julie, I think this new format is good. Like everybody said, it's a lot less busy, and we can concentrate on the differences. And I'd also add that I never found the percentages to be of much value. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Lyndon.
Thank you.
Any response, Julia?
No, I appreciate any and all input. And as you know, I'm just trying to take some notes because I do like to, I don't know if Anita was able to listen in tonight. And I like to be able to fill her in and, as well as Tamara, to make sure that everybody feels good about the changes that we're making. So
I'll just take a quick second to say, I see what you're doing. You're streamlining. You are making things not necessarily simpler, but easier to see, easier to read, and I think that's what we need moving forward. We need that in all of our operations and in our
correct
in our physical operations, you know, in the radio stations. We need to consolidate, streamline, modernize, and so this is what you're doing, and it's good. I like it too. Anybody else? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I've done several things like that. I mean, just when I see something that seems like that, why are we doing it that way? A lot of times it's because the people who are dealing with it are in so much of a hole, you know, focus more on those audits last year. They don't have time to sit down and go, okay, how can we import this stuff instead of hand keying it? So we're not hand keying payroll into to Great Plains anymore, and we're not hand keying the end of month transfers for all the stations that are housed in Mass. You know, I set it up, and John actually connected me with somebody who helped me figure out how I could import that. We're importing detail now into Great Plains from Mass every month, so it's easier for when we do the fiscal year 22 audit, that we're not having to jump back to math every time to be able to find the detail because our transfers were lump sum. So it's a lot of stuff y'all would probably never see, but probably why I'm always in a tizzy for those of you who've had to had to speak with me when I'm all hyped up working on something. So if we want, we can go on to the numbers unless anybody else has more questions.
Anybody else? Why don't we go to the numbers? We are getting short on time.
Okay. I do want to go back to, and I can't remember, I think it was R. Paul who said, you know, I think one room for improvement here is a little bit more in the notes section in the narrative. I did try to add a few things in here today. my process for this, and I know it, I'm not sure. I assume sometimes it's easier for somebody who works with numbers all the time to kind of jump to what is the root of what's going on here. And for me, the thing that jumped out the most, other than, of course, there are a lot of negatives on here. You know, if we look to line 38, we see our net loss. I mean, we have a net gain for the year of 24,000, but versus last year, you know, that has dropped $293,000. As I go on up, I look to what are the big, you know, the year-over-year change is helpful to me to see, you know, what jumps out the most. And, of course, we all have the red flag on KPFK. But I found it interesting, you know, if we look at the revenue for KPFK, and obviously something needs to turn around there and turn around soon. But, you know, if I, you know, of that $360,000, you know, drop in revenue from the prior year, you know, the majority of that drop has been offset by the decrease in expenses, which is down on line 18. So if you look at line 18, you see that the year-over-year expenses have dropped $281,000. I don't see that we can cut expenses much more than we can, than we have. I will give Miguel credit. You know, he and I both started as novices with KPFK, and we really dug in to see what expenses could be cut, and he was really trying to be thoughtful about what could be done there. I think a lot of these expenses, the major expenses, were already cut prior to this year, except for the telephone. Fingers crossed, come February, we will have less expensive phone bills for them. And that, you know, should be several thousand dollars a month that they say. That's the only thing left that's a big cut. So for anything to happen there, it's going to have to come through changes in the, whether it's changing in the programming, the number of days of the fund drives, whatever it is, it's going to have to be some type of increase in revenue. The other thing that jumped out at me was the national office. If we look at line 23 under expenses, that's a big jump. That really jumped out at me. The $153,000 increase in expenses from the national office, because in reality, they don't have, you just don't expect to see as much from them as you do from a lot of the stations. And I looked, and that is over half of that is attributed to legal fees. I don't know the history there. I don't know when everything broke loose and the legal fees started going up. I thought that a lot of the legal stuff, you know, had been going on all last year. But at least for this fiscal year, we have spent a lot more in legal fees than we did this time last year. So, something, again, I feel like, you know, I feel kind of, because again, probably
today.
This is good for staff.
Julia, can you hear me?
The conversation with the attorney. Typically, contact with the attorneys was supposed to go through one person, and I cannot remember who that is. If it was him,
Julia,
she's back. She's back, Kim. Let her go. We couldn't hear you for a minute. You were breaking up, but you're back now. So
Okay.
You could just check your jacks or something, see if anything's loose.
Okay, so I'll just assume you heard the majority of it. But again, you know, doing what we can to try to reel in those legal costs, if nothing more than making sure that there is a centralized person who is understanding why the attorneys are being contacted. I mentioned last time that John is helping me at least centralize the invoicing, because all the invoices were going to every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and then here we come that there were a whole bunch of invoices for one of the attorneys that I didn't even know about. So, you know, he and I are working together, kind of centralize the flow of the invoices, but we still, at some point, not for tonight, need somebody to be the go-to person that's saying, yes, that is worthy of reaching out to the attorney and who's doing that, because these are, you know, they're some of them are $500 an hour, and that adds up. It's ridiculous. And all of these legal fees are that, you know, every station, every unit has legal fees. So just this portion of this increase for Pacific, for the national office, is not all of the legal fees. I feel like that's the only other place that's an opportunity for a huge cut, potentially, going forward. So if you'd like, we can go into some details. And does anybody have any questions about what we're addressing here?
R. Paul?
Alex on the stack.
R. Paul, Alex, anybody else? I just want to remind everybody we're coming up on our time certain. We may want to – I'll give you like a two-minute warning, Julia. We'll see if anybody wants to extend. Go ahead.
Okay.
Our fault.
Okay. You were talking – you lost me at one point. You were talking about the legal fees on line 23. What tab was that on? Because I looked at P&O and line 23 is blank.
The summary tab.
The summary tab, line
summary
23.
Tab.
Well, okay, and that's P&O.
Right. I was just saying that $153,000 increase over last year's year-to-date fiscal 21 expenses, $80,000 of it is made up of legal fees. If you go over to the national office tab, it is on line 66.
Okay, yes. Legal. Okay. All right, thank you.
Right. Did I say? You're welcome.
Alex.
I want to make two points. First, all the legal invoices should be going through the Pacifica Legal Counsel, Arthur Schwartz. They should be funneled in one place, and that's the logical place. If they go,
you there,
Alex? We lost you.
By people, some people who are on this call have something to do with those lawsuits. They could help Pacifica by convincing those people who are behind those lawsuits to stop suing Pacifica. Very simple. We have a very expensive arbitration going on with former executive director John Vernail. That's been costing us quite a bit in legal fees. We had frivolous lawsuits filed by a Mr. Goldmacher and a Ms. Huggins from KPFA. That was thrown out of court, but they're apparently planning to appeal. That cost us a bit of money. And then we have a lawsuit by someone named Jan Goodman, which is also costing us some money. That represents a good chunk of the increased legal fees.
Yes, I cannot dispute that. I will just say that when I see the legal fees, and I think some of these are unavoidable at this point because once you're in the middle of a lawsuit, what are you going to do? But I do see some that come through where I can see, oh, so-and-so has called someone to talk to them about X, and it ended up being an hour-and-a-half call. And so now you're paying, you know, or a two-hour call, and that's, you know, $1,000 at a clip. Some cannot be avoided, but I think just being cognizant of how quickly these invoices escalate is important, and that there's some type of plan in place that to manage it.
What's
the manageable piece of it?
Go ahead, Art Paul.
Yeah, we have that. The PNB years ago passed a motion that made it so that everybody couldn't just call up the lawyer and run up legal fees. It's a motion passed by the PNB that, you know, you, an individual can't just do that. It has to require some kind of authorization to go bother the lawyers and incur that expense. Did people forget that? Or are we not doing that anymore? Because what you say we should have, we already should have.
That's
great, and maybe it just goes back to communicating it. And please let me know, I don't want to make it seem like that is the majority of these invoices. It is not, but, you know, every $1,000, I feel like, counts here. So, but it's probably another thing that we need to work on is that organization-wide communication. Because sometimes I think these things get passed and maybe they're not communicated, or they're not in a location that is easily accessible. You can tell somebody something one time. They're not going to remember that when it comes up 6 months or a year later, you know, that they think, oh, you know. I feel like we have that. We've said that before, that we, even like with the central services calculation, you know, we have these things that are passed, but making sure that they're actually followed up on and implemented.
Jim, did you hear me, Kim?
Chris, I heard you. I didn't hear you, Kim, but I've got you now. And I just want to say, though, that we are now at close to our time certain. Within a matter of seconds, that's... would someone like to move to extend?
Move to extend
that
10
was...
minutes.
How many?
15, Chris. 15,
Is there any objection to extending 15 minutes? Hearing none, that's done. We'll go ahead. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So we could spend an hour talking about the legal expenses of the foundation, and maybe we should at some point. But there's a lot of other stuff that we need to be looking at here. If we look at the summary tab, we now can see that we have four stations that are gainful and four stations that are losing money, and that our loss in our decline in net gain, yeah, there we go, from a year ago is 90-some-odd%. In other words, we are skating dangerously close to being underwater as an organization. I guess the question I would ask here, there were lots of motions that were passed at the PNB, for stations that were not having gainful operations. Any station that is losing more than 10% was supposed to be subject to review. I believe that we have probably three stations that fall into that category right now. But we've only really been reviewing one of them. I'm not sure who is enshrined with that responsibility, but whoever's enshrined with it should take that responsibility up. If it's the NFC, then the NFC should do it. If it's the PNB, then the PNB should do it. But there's probably more than one station at this juncture that is up for review. And if we don't do that, I think our odds of going completely underwater this year at some point are extraordinarily high. So I'm just kind of putting that out as a sort of fair warning to the organization that we're heading for a dark patch of water, and that it would be good to get ahead of it before we actually hit it. Thank you.
Chris, can you tell me just briefly, when you say up for review, more detailed review? Was there some discussion about or definition of what that review would be?
Yeah, you'd have to go back to the motion to look at it. But my understanding was that any station that had more than a 10% loss in the previous, I believe, 6 months would be subjected to the manager of those operations, of those stations, would have to present the PNB with a balanced budget within some set amount of time, which I think it was actually quite short. I think it was 2 weeks. And in other words, how would you bring your operations, how will you bring your operations into order? And then if they are incapable of doing that, then it passes over to the NFC. That was my memory of the motion, and the NFC would basically write that budget for them. Now, I other than KPFK, I don't believe this has actually ever been executed, but KPFK has been a chronic bleeder, still is, and it still needs attention, right? I mean, we still need to bring that budget into order. The station is losing over $50,000 a month at this juncture. So that can't continue either. But in any case, I'm getting off the topic here. The topic is that all three of those stations that are in the red right now, I believe, should be up for review, and that this should be passed off to the general managers of those stations, and that they should be presenting us with options. And I don't believe that's happening, and I think it has to happen, but I can't remember. I think it starts out with a demand from the PNB, but I honestly can't remember at this point because it's been about a year since I've read that motion. Anyway, thank you.
If someone can just help me locate these motions, that would be fantastic. And that is also something that, you know, where maybe the percentages are important on the summary tab, as more to help kind of make this still that dashboard type concept that we were talking about. So
I'm just going to interject here. I'm going to interject here for a second to say, yes, we can get you that, the exact words of that motion, but I think that motion had my name on it. And the intent of that motion, I think, was at that moment in time. And I think the exact turnaround time for those reports was supposed to be 2 weeks. And, you know, a year and a half later, we still didn't have them. And I think perhaps the normal budgeting process would overtake the operation of that motion at some point, I guess, actually in the past. But we, you know, we'll look that up. We'll get the exact language and see, you know, if we want to take another try at it, or, you know, we definitely have to work out a mechanism to deal with these problems. I absolutely agree.
Well, Kim, this will be a side conversation, but that kind of leads into where you are with the budget with KPFK and the need for the National Finance Committee to have some.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Kim, you were on the stack next, so why don't you go ahead and make the response?
No, I'm going to pass. I don't need to add anything more. You know, we just have to move forward. Thanks.
Okay. Anyone else with any other questions? I wanted to make one quick comment on the legal fees question. I think we had the agreement about asking legal questions was for directors. You needed a certain number of directors to get together, and the questions were supposed to be channeled perhaps through the chair. I don't remember exactly, but I think some of these conversations with the lawyers that are going on are probably from staff. So maybe we need to review that motion as well and expand it.
Very good clarification. And it might be directors, and I don't recognize the names on the invoices sometimes.
This is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I'll just add that another thing that can be done is someone tells the lawyers to only speak through the chair, period. You know, so anybody can call them, but they know that. I know when we had John Kriegler, he would not speak to anyone but the chair or the IED or the ED. So, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, maybe that's something that Stephanie and Arthur can discuss.
Yeah, on the board, yeah.
And get a plan today, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we're not the first organization to have this question come up. We can always not reinvent the wheel and find out how other people are doing this. Anybody else?
Any more questions?
Alex on the stack.
Go ahead, Alex.
It's been a policy for a long time that any questions to legal counsel or things like that have to go through. First of all, it has to be initiated by at least three directors, and it should go through the chair, and either the chair or the executive director. That's been the policy for quite a long time. The problem is sometimes that policy is just people try to bypass that policy. Sometimes we have a new legal counsel who's not aware of the policy, and he starts answering questions from people, and you know, and so it goes. But that is absolutely the policy, and has been for quite a while.
Yeah, I recall that.
But
you're
that's
right.
Just for that's, but that's not for staff, correct? That's just for.
Yeah, I think that did not apply to staff. Yeah, that's the issue. Yeah.
What do you? Well, it actually applies to anybody who needs some kind of legal work from Pacifica. Why wouldn't it apply to staff?
I just don't think we mentioned staff. I think at the time the concern was directors were trying to contact attorneys individually or independent of the body. And I recall, I don't think staff were mentioned in that, but I could be wrong.
I'm actually not aware of staff trying to contact our attorneys either, so I'm not sure where that came from. But we have had...
I see their names on the bills.
Not only directors, but members of the local board. Or even just individuals who try to contact our attorneys sometimes. And that's really not the way it should happen.
I like Kim's suggestion. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting. But I liked Kim's idea, you know, stop it at the top, tell the lawyers not to do it. That's a good idea. It should be our policy in addition. Okay, I'm done interjecting. Anybody else requesting the stack? Did I hear anybody? We've got about 5 or 6 minutes left. Julie, do you want to go on?
You know, I feel like we've addressed a lot. I would like to circle back around and say, you know, this process of where we're saying this is preliminary, what are we allowed to release, or we comfortable approving these as they are? Does the committee prefer to have, you know, the next week to review these and submit questions or issues? Like, where are we in the actual approval process?
Well, normally when
I would not be offended if we're not approving it tonight, because I know it's a new template and people haven't had that much time to look at it. So I just want to clarify where we are with that, and can these be released to the units?
Well, I had intended to ask our Paul that question. Just he sort of serves as our sometimes impromptu parliamentarian. Our Paul, do you think we need a motion? I know you don't. I guess you didn't like that. Our Paul has a lot of experience, and I ask him questions sometimes. I'll put it that way. Do we need motions to approve this new format, or can Julia, as the CFO, just do this?
That's a good question. I don't know that we've approved formats in the past at all. Maybe we have, but I've forgotten about it. I think the deal is the committee needs to see how it looks, how it works for each of us, and probably what we should do is probably let it happen again next time, and by then we'll have figured out if we can work with it, if this is good, if we want to make a change. So I think there wouldn't be a motion now. I think there would maybe be a motion next time.
I think Kim, that's a good idea.
Go ahead, Kim. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going as well, Arpol. Go ahead, Kim.
What exactly does that mean? We're not gonna send it to the. I can't send it to the local tomorrow or not. A yes or no?
I don't think that was. I was interpreting the question as being: is it okay to use this format, but that is the other shoe to drop yet, is this good to go for the local committees?
Look, I'm fine with the format, you know, I mean, please, you know.
Yeah, agreed.
So can I send it out? I mean.
Yeah, I think we had a consensus on the format, and so what's the consensus? And Julie, why don't you just give us your thoughts?
Nobody seemed to have any big errors that needed to be corrected, so I'm okay.
We didn't have much time to look at it. That's the other thing.
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, there are not hand-calculated formulas in it, so at least we know that part is correct.
I would say, well, I'm gonna lean toward, why don't we let it go and let people look at it and, you know, have issues, but understand that we've announced that that there may be problems and that's, we're hoping to get feedback on what they are.
Okay, so that's a yes, I can send it out.
Well, that's my thinking. I'm asking Julie if she's okay with that.
I would prefer that we not say there may be problems. I would just
okay.
say, here they are. If you have any comments, questions, or input, please let me know.
Fair enough. So I don't think we need a motion for that. Normally when we get these reports, then the treasurers now have them, and they can bring them back to their stations. And that's how we are releasing it.
Beth, with a question?
We are releasing this, right? Is that what you said?
Yes. That's what we always do. I'm just saying, we would just follow our regular procedure. Okay. I heard you, Beth. Go ahead.
Do we call it then preliminary or financials or a draft or just say that these are the financials for the month?
Yes.
All of the above, or we just call them unaudited
financials.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, I'm
understood that they're unaudited.
Okay, thank you.
Everybody knows that they're unaudited.
Right.
I'm going to send them out tonight just saying, here's the December financials, you know, for discussion at tomorrow's meeting.
Yes.
Question?
Question? Kristen. Yeah.
I heard somebody saying question. Was that our Paul?
Oh, Paul, yeah.
Go ahead, then Chris.
Okay, if you'll remember, what we talked about was each station can send its own chunk of the spreadsheet out to the station. So are we still doing that, or can we just take that entire document and send it out?
Well, I don't recall our policy that way. I think, especially when we had all the inter-office borrowing, so to speak, the policy we established was that when the financials were sent to the NFC, rather than just sending them to the chair, they would go to everyone on the NFC. They would go to the officers of the board, the executive director, and the general managers so that they could see how things were going and, you know, help in their thinking about the inter-office borrowing.
All right. So the question is, does the document Consolidated Financials from GP DEC 2021 NFC 01-2522.xlsx, do we send that whole thing out or excerpt parts?
No, I think that's the way we go. There's no...
whole thing?
Yeah. I don't think there's anything confidential in it, right? There's no salary information or anything like that. Yep, we're all good.
Let me just clarify if it's okay for me to speak.
Yes, please.
The way I was told when I was sending them out to the general managers and the business managers was that they just received theirs. What I do know, though, is that was kind of pointless to take the time to separate them out and do that, because I was seeing that the stations were getting the full packet from someone. So just so you know, I don't know why. I don't know where that came from, that we only sent out from NETA.
I think that might have been a remnant of when there was personnel or salary information involved, but I'm not positive. Our Paul might know.
Kim, to a stack.
Well, either way, I think just sending out the whole thing makes sense, personally.
I agree. Kim?
Yeah. Well, I just want to say that because I was getting the full financials, and I like reading this stuff, Call me crazy, but I was the one who looked at KPFA's telephone and KPFK's phone and go, wait, what? So I think it's useful to be able to avail ourselves of that kind of information. It was useful to me and useful to KPFK. So I'm fine with it all going out.
Yep. I think that's our policy, and we'll just keep it. Our Paul?
Hey, James, you jumped over me there.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Chris.
It's okay. I just wanted to say that I was gonna chime in with that distribution list that you gave before. So I hope somebody did Julia a service of kind of writing it down just so she knows of what the standard distribution list is after it passes through this committee. Anyway, if somebody could do that, I think Julia would find it helpful going forward. Thank you.
Yes, I can do that. I'll do that with Julia. We are now at our time certain. Is everybody happy?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't hear any calls to extend. That being the case, I want to...
Kim, question.
Go ahead.
Do we have a meeting next week, and do we have another meeting, and what budgets are we... Are we going to be looking at budgets next week?
That's a good question. We do not have a meeting next week. I'd like to have a meeting the week after that, and I think we actually would need to schedule that meeting now. So I'm going to ask, is there any objection to having a meeting 2 weeks from tonight?
Why can't we have one?
We already have a meeting 2 weeks from tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, that's already scheduled? Thank you.
We need to keep going on these budgets, James.
Right, we have a schedule conflict for next week. That's why we... ratcheted it up and we were meeting once a week, but we have a schedule conflict next week.
Okay.
Like Tim, that's why I brought up that our goal most likely is KPFT. Did I say that right? KP, yeah, whatever. T,
yeah.
And WBAI. Hopefully those will be on deck for that meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, that will give Julia.
We won't have financials for the 8th because we have financials tonight.
And that interim will give Julia time to prepare as well.
Okay, great. Okay. I got a Tuesday back. That's cool.
There you go. Okay. Anybody else?
No.
Let's go ahead then. And again, I want to thank Alex for attending and Stephanie Wells, our new executive director. Thanks to Julia for being here and to Fred Blair for being our streamer. And for Otis McClay for coming and helping us with the CPB application information. With that, we are adjourned. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
All right.